I want you to go in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 8. Before church, while you're turning there, I normally pray right here, but I just let you know, I had sensed a disturbance in the force. I'm so glad that George Lucas gave us that phraseology for spiritual things, that you can just tell there was resistance, just a resistance. Maybe some of you are unaware of it. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. I had to push through some things, and I know what's about to be delivered, and there was a fight. I'm telling you, there was a fight, and so here it comes. Are you ready? Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come together around your word. We thank you that your word is alive. It is full of the very power that it declares that it has. And so we each one make a decision to highly esteem and value the incorruptible seed of the word of God and to receive it into the good soil of our hearts. And it will produce 30 and 60 and 100-fold return in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs chapter 8, we'll start reading in verse 20, and I'm reading from the Amplified Bible because of some word study in it. It says, I, wisdom, walk in the way of righteousness, moral and spiritual rectitude in every area and relation. I want you to say that. Every area and relation. Every area and relation. Now notice that's in parentheses, so that is actually in the Greek. That's expounding on what the word means when it talks about righteousness. In the midst of the paths of justice, so we're talking about paths, that I, that's wisdom again speaking, that I may cause those who love me to inherit true riches. Notice true is in brackets. That's inserted. That's not actually there. So it would be right to read it without it. That I may cause those who love me to inherit riches, and that I may fill their treasuries. God wants us blessed. Can I go ahead and talk about it for a moment? I had no intention of going there at all. But God wants us blessed. If he tells us to go and do likewise like the Good Samaritan, what did he do? He put the guy that was beat up, put him on his animal, took him to the inn. That's like a hospital. And then left him and gave him 2 days' wages and says, if it's any more than that, let me know and I'll come and settle accounts. You take somebody and pay their hospital bill for 2 days, you better have some sketch in your pocket. You better have some money. He said, throw a block party. And invite the crippled, the lame, people that cannot pay you back. If you're going to take two people to McDonald's after church, you better have some money. Are you with me? You can't say, well, I'm going to pay by faith. You won't eat. God wants us blessed. We read it last week. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Everything should improve in our lives when we seek his kingdom first and his righteousness. Amen? That is not my message, but that was worth the drive right there. Praise God. The title of the message is The Ships of God's Armada. And we just introduced this last week. The ships are these. Relationship, sonship, fellowship, discipleship, worship, stewardship, and I had a list of about 20 others, from things like membership, partnership, citizenship, lordship got added to the list on Thursday. There's a bunch of ships that we could talk about, amen? Go over to Ephesians chapter 1. And I'm just going to review just a little bit, just to give us some context. God is a package God. Salvation, for example, it's a package. It's protection. It's health. It's preservation. It's wealth. It's provision. It's a lot of things. And all of that is included in salvation. Now, some people cherry pick from salvation. I just want my fire escape. I just want to make it to heaven. And they live defeated when there's a whole package paid for and it belongs to you. In fact, when you got born again, it became resident in you. Amen. That's why in Philippians it says, work out your salvation. That package that's been deposited in you, he wants us to work it to the exterior. Not just be on the inside, but to affect our lives. Amen. Romans chapter 12, I'm just referring to this, verse 2, it says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, when we talk about these ships, again, people have decided to leave some of these ships at the port. And God wants all of them moving in action, in concert with one another. He doesn't want us to be strong on discipleship and weak on stewardship, or vice versa, or strong in studentship and weak in worship. He wants us to have all those ships moving together. And this isn't to load us up with a lot of obligation. Oh, I really got to work on discipleship. Oh, man, I got to work on this. That's not this at all. In fact, what we're going to do is be aware of these ships, and we're going to get our minds in the process of renewing about those things so that we'll have a healthy expectation of those ships being in operation. In fact, that verse from the New Living Translation says, do not copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. That's what we're talking about. We want to renew our minds to these areas so we know what to expect. The word renewing means renovation. Renovation. And then I love this from the Vines Expository. It says, the adjustment of the moral and spiritual vision and thinking to the mind of God, which is designed to have a transforming effect upon the life. What a potent definition. So God is changing how we look at things. We're looking at things according to how He looks at things. If we'll do that, all these areas will take care of themselves. They really will. I'm not trying to bring up law and say, okay, you need to pray more, you need to do this. No. Mm-mm. Just get your mind in the process of renewing about those things. Know what to expect. Know what God expects. And then we saw in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 from the New Living, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Remember, we're talking paths, right? These ships are on a path, and it should be to the destination or the destiny of God. We have divine coordinates. Man, I got help right now. I just felt my helper. Glory to Jesus. And the Good News Bible says this, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. There are so many people that just have a negative expectation of things. And you know what? Faith works. If you're expecting the worst to happen, you're placing a demand on it. The law of faith is you believe in your heart and you speak with your mouth. And when you give voice to the negative that you're expecting, you're bringing it to pass. And then you say, well, look how smart I am. No, you're messing yourself up. Have a healthy expectation. The devil is an expert at getting people to use their faith against themselves. He knows how it works better than most Christians. He tries to deal with things while they're still seeds. Much easier to uproot an acorn than to topple a big old tree. Now, today, we're going to start into the ships. We're going to drill down. The very first one is relationship. Relationship, and specifically, because we could go into a lot of areas with relationship, but specifically I want to talk about our relationship to God. And I would go ahead and say this is fundamental to all the other areas. When you have good, healthy relationship with God, your stewardship will be in order. Your discipleship will be in order. Your worship will be in order. This is the fuel for all the other ships. I have tried to sail some ships in my life without relationship with God. Now, I was born again, but I just got some ideas. You know, they're good ideas, but it wasn't a God idea. And so it's like I'm on my own, just out there trying to move these ships with an oar. Mm-mm. You're going to exhaust yourself, and you're not going anywhere. I mean, in fact, when you get into pride, the word says that God resists the proud. There's a headwind keeping you close to the dock. Even though you're sweating and putting all this effort, they labor in vain that build the church, unless the Lord builds it. Isn't that right? You can still get some stuff accomplished, but it's vanity. I don't want vanity. Amen? Now, you're there in Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation, and it says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ." That's a relationship scripture. Because we're connected to Christ, you now have a supply line, which he said is every spiritual blessing. Can I say that word again? Every spiritual blessing. And I want to point something else out to you. Has blessed. I'm not waiting to be blessed. I am blessed. It's past tense. Where does it exist? In the heavenly realm. Right? And within us. But the thing is, it's like we said, work out our salvation. I want what's been deposited in me, what is available in the spirit realm. I want it functioning in my life. I need it now. How many of you need it now? I won't need healing when I get to heaven. I won't need provision, money, when I get to heaven. I need it now. How many of you need it now? Fill your car up with gas. You need it now. Are you with me? Praise God. Keep reading. Even before he made the world, God loved us. And look at this. Chose us. This was not your idea. He chose us. Man, I got help. He chose us. Chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Now, religion will read that. Oh, man. I got a lot of work to do. He chose us to be in this condition when you're in Christ. If you're born again, you are holy. You are without blame. Did you hear what I said? I'm going to prove that to you scripturally today. Amen. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. Man, my happy pill just kicked in, I'm telling you. That is awesome. This was his idea. He chose us. He made us holy and blameless and put us in Christ and brought him to himself because he wanted to. And he's pleased. I said he's pleased. That makes relationship easy. If I have this idea that God is this score-keeping God, and he's writing down every bad thought I ever had, every mistake I ever made, every stop sign I ever rolled through. Anybody ever do that? Don't raise your hand. If I have this idea of God, I'm not going near him. I'd be like Peter in the boat, remember? He just saw an amazing miracle. Jesus borrowed his boat, and then he said after he was done, go let down your net for a catch. And he said, well, we fished all night, and we didn't catch anything. And Jesus, we're the fishermen. You're the carpenter. We're the fishermen. We know they're not biting. I'm adding a lot to the story, but you understand. And then he's like, nevertheless, at your word, and he drops the net, and the net is almost sinking. You are just too cute. How can I not pay attention? She is hanging on every word. That's awesome. Praise God. What was my point? I was talking. But no, this is money in Peter's pocket. They're about to sink the boats. And I want you to know something. It's not God's fault that your nets are breaking. We need to be ready for more. I'm telling you, when, notice how I said it, not if, when it drops on me, I know what to do. There's some pastors, I want to buy them a building. I know three or four right now. The Drakes, we'll go ahead and pay that other 40 grand off. We'll do it like that. I'd do it. God knows he's found a vessel. He can get it through me. So I'm wide open for him to get it to me. Glory to Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Now go over to 2 John. 2 John is just the one chapter. A little Ruth's up here. She looked like she was enjoying it. So, look at verse 8. Watch out that you do not lose what you have worked so hard to achieve. Be diligent so that you receive your full reward. God wants us to have all of it. Now, religion, and I can speak to this from experience, I know how I would have read that 20 years ago. I know what I would have heard. Oh, I better work hard because I achieved this. Do you know how we achieve anything? We receive it. We believe and we receive. And that's it. That's all. It's not because of my holy conduct that I earn anything. In fact, that's quite intermittent. Are you with me? Praise God, he doesn't measure me by my conduct, but by the condition of my spirit, which is right with God in Christ. Then he goes on to say, anyone who wanders away from this teaching has no what? Relationship with God. But anyone who remains in the teaching of Christ has a relationship with both the Father and the Son. I've seen people, I've watched them, they're on fire for God, and then they waft away, and I'm like, what happened? How did this happen? They fell out of relationship, or really fellowship. That's a whole nother vein that we'll get to later. Not today, but we'll talk about fellowship, because fellowship is the joy of relationship. It really is. When we're related to someone, the joy of that relationship is to fellowship together. Now go over to 2 Peter. But you saw from that scripture, God wants us to have the whole package. And see, if we fall out of relationship with him, we're going to not experience the full package. Did you see it? 2 Peter chapter 1. And we read this last week, but I'm going to get to something here. And I'm going to say this. Do you know that it's possible to never stumble? Okay, I set you up. All right, you're like, say what? Well, I'm going to read some verses. Here you go. 2 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. We really broke this down for you last week. That word knowledge, it's a threefold knowledge, okay? It means to experience. That's what it's talking about, us having an experience. So it goes beyond just head knowledge. The first and the lowest level is to know about God. That's what many churches, they stop right there. They're just teaching about him, and I call that religion. It's about God, but without God. The second, and I think is the highest, is to know God, to know him, to experience him. And the third is I get to know what he knows. And we've already talked about that, that my thoughts are aligning with his thoughts. That's huge. I'm telling you, that's huge. That's huge. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16 says, we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of the anointed one, because religion says, well, God works in mysterious ways. You just never know what God's going to do. He wants you to know what he thinks. He wants you to think the same way that he thinks. As his divine power has given. Is that past tense in your Bibles? Has given, not will give, has given to us all things. How many things? That sounds like every spiritual blessing, doesn't it? All things that pertain to life and godliness. again, through the knowledge of him. A better way to say that is through knowing him. Through knowing him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these, what? The promises, you may be partakers. Say partakers. God wants us to partake. It pleases him for us to partake of the divine nature. You know, you have a new nature. When you got born again, a new nature was installed in your spirit. And we're to live out of that. I still have a flesh nature. How many of you still have a flesh? Okay. For those of you that aren't raising your hand, you have a flesh. It's called your godless human nature. The Fred Flintstone cartoons years ago is more accurate than you know. Little devil on this shoulder, little angel over here with his harp. It's your spirit versus your flesh. And you have to decide on the inside which way you're going to go. Maybe partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence. Say diligence. See, we're to be diligent that we get the whole reward, right? Yeah. To not lose anything. Amen. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Now, 20 years ago, I would have read that and thought, oh my gosh, that's like homework. I got to work on all of that. I got to work on brotherly kindness. Come on, God. Oh. I would have heard works. The revelation is this. This is the things that pertain to life and godliness. And it's already been given to you. It's already in your spirit, your born again spirit. Man, I got help. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, in knowing God and knowing what he knows. Now watch this. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted. Remember, God's a package God. We just read a package right there. And I'm telling you, there's some people leaving the ships behind because they don't know about it. They're short-sighted. They don't see it. Even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. The devil wants to blind you. Pride is one of the ways he does it. Pride is absolutely blind to itself. Thinks it's right, self-right. I mean, it's not good. Pride is not good. And again, you get a headwind when that happens. But look at verse 10. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent. Say diligent. You know what diligence is? Does anybody know what diligence is? It means you're going to stick to it. Have you ever lost your car keys? Did you look for 5 minutes and give up? No, you're diligent to find those keys because you're not leaving without them. You have to have the keys. So that requires diligence. That means I'm going to be engaged in this until it's successful. Okay? Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. How do you do that? Well, I'm going to take a survey as people are coming into church. Hey, do you think I'm a pastor, teacher? You think, or is that the way we do it? No, it's relationship with the Father. It's the Father who tells us who we are, who he's designed us to be. That's a relationship verse. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Is it possible? Now, don't get into works. Again, this is about realizing and having our minds renewed in the process of renewing to what he's already put in us. We don't have to stumble. Go over to Romans chapter 4. We need to be able to see these things. If we can't see them, if we're blind to areas, then those areas will be absent in our life. Through relationship, God will show you the width of all those things that pertain to life and godliness. He'll show you all those things so that you'll know what to believe and what to expect. He's an impressive God. And He wants so much more for us than we receive, than we believe about ourselves. Man, I'm telling you, that was a ceiling in my life for a long time. I mean, I just had a ceiling there that you're only going to go so far, and that's it. And it was internal. It wasn't something I ever gave voice to. But it was things that had been spoken over me, maybe as a child, limits that were put in my life. Parents, watch out. Listen to me. Stop pronouncing damage and brokenness over your kids. Quit it. Stop it. God is not happy with that. I said He's not happy. I could get indignant. I better back up. Did I tell you Romans 4? Okay, let's start reading in verse 13. And again, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation because I like how this is worded. It says, clearly, God promised to give the whole earth to Abraham and to his descendants was based not on his obedience to God's law, but on a right relationship with God that comes by faith. If God's promise is only for those who obey the law, then faith is not necessary and the promise is pointless. For the law always brings punishment on those who try to obey it. Remember, I told you last week, if you try to live by the law, all it can do is tell you guilty, guilty. And look what's in parentheses. This, bless me. The only way to avoid breaking the law is to have no law to break. Exclamation point. Thank you, Jesus. There's no law to break in Christ. So the promise is received by faith. We have to receive it. God doesn't impose it. We need to believe for it. It is given as a free gift. And we are all certain to receive it whether or not we live according to the law of Moses. If we have faith like Abraham's. We have to receive it. We've got to believe it and receive it. If you believe it, you'll receive it. Go over to Romans chapter 3. Now, in case it hasn't been clear up till now, it's about to be really clear. I wonder how I missed this for so many years. Religion is blinders. There's little holes. You can see little bits of light, but the premise of your life is conduct. No longer is the premise of my life conduct. The premise of my life is I am the righteousness of God in Christ, which affects my conduct. Once I realize and my mind is in the process of renewing to that truth, I live differently. I'm able to talk to myself and say, a righteous man doesn't act like that. Romans 3, look at verse 21, again from the New Living Translation. But now God has shown us a way to be made right with Him without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. And we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who they are. No matter who they are. Have you ever met somebody and you wondered, God, can you even save them? Because they're so twisted and distorted. Everybody, listen to this word. Everybody is redeemable. Everybody. They have to choose it. But everybody is redeemable. I want you to skip down to verse 28. So we are made right with God through faith and not by obeying the law. You know, when we read these verses, we'll say the same thing over and over from a couple of different ways. We'll restate what we just read. I cannot think of a clearer way to say that. I will read it again. So we are made right with God through faith and not by obeying the law. That's the best news you've ever heard. I said it's the best news you have ever heard. In closing, I want you to go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is freeing people. This is freeing people. I didn't say that our conduct doesn't matter. when we get into bad habits or do things that are against our conscience, when we sin, I never said you could not sin. I never said that. You can. Has anybody, let me look this way. Has anybody sinned this week? Now, I'm not looking, but whoever's not raising their hand, you are sinning right now. So you might as well raise your hand. That's all of us. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. See, religion just puts a period right there. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Bless his holy name. The wages of sin is death. Bless his holy name. That's how religion teaches that. And the way that religion teaches grace, that's what we're talking about today, is grace. You know how religion teaches grace? Unmerited favor. The emphasis is on our unmerited part. We can't earn it. It should be the opposite. Unmerited favor. The favor of God. Isn't that awesome? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look at verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. A new creation. Somebody needs this. You are a new creation. You're not who you grew up as. When you got born again, you became a new creation because the Creator's nature moved into your spirit. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things. How many things? All things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself. Did you notice? That is past tense. It doesn't say he will reconcile us to himself. He has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. What is the ministry of reconciliation? He's given that to us. That is us telling people what you've been learning today. You don't have to keep the law. You just need to believe in Jesus. You need to believe that God has given you everything that pertains to life and godliness. He's taken care of the sin. There's no record of your sins. Man, I'm telling you, religion hits it right there. Boom. They can't get past that. But it's true. I'm going to prove it. It says it right here. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Remember, he did this because it pleased him. Not, here it is right here, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. How was he able to reconcile us? Not imputing their trespasses. Not imputing their trespasses. Not imputing their trespasses. Not imputing their trespasses. Do you know what that word means? It's an accounting term. And whenever you go through the line at Publix or Walmart and you use your debit card or a credit card, the transaction is imputed on your account. It's imputed. That means there's debt. You just incurred debt. There's a withdrawal either from a debit or you owe your credit card at the end of the month. See, there's a debt from the transaction. That's what imputing means. Here he's saying he did not impute our sins, our trespasses. He didn't impute them. In fact, what he did was he sent Jesus into line with you with his card, and he paid the debt. He paid it for you. You don't owe him. That changes how you think. That changes how you act when you know that he's already satisfied the whole debt. And the thing is, we read over in Hebrews that he has obtained eternal redemption. That means every sin, past, present, and future. This is when people miss it right here. even sins you haven't committed yet. Because if you read the book of Romans, 48 times the word sin is mentioned, and of those 48 times, 46 of them are singular. He's dealing with sin as a category. Only two times is it plural. Only two times. So when he dealt with sin, he dealt with all sin. And it says there in Hebrews, where it says, having obtained eternal redemption, it says, once for all. It's for everyone and for every sin. I just told you the good news. This is the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. You just heard the best news you've ever heard. Ever. Thank you, Lord. And see, he commits this to us. There's no plan B for God. If the message is going to get out, it's going to be because people are aware of it. Their minds are in the process of renewing, and they understand who they are in Christ, that they're righteous in him, and they're sharing that good news with others. What is the good news? God is okay with you, Anita. He's okay with you. Man, that's good news. That's the only way I'm coming boldly to the throne of grace, because if I'm aware of my sin, being sin conscious, you're going to do like Peter. You're going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. I didn't finish that story. After they threw down the net, what happened? You think Peter would have said, praise God, you're coming fishing with me every day. That's money in his pocket. That's not what he did, right? They saw the power and the provision of God. A miracle happens. And what does Peter do? Peter goes, depart from me, I'm sinful. All he's aware of is his sin. That's what sin will cause you to do. You will not run to the throne of grace. But we're told to boldly enter the throne of grace. The only way that's possible, Kason, is you know you belong there. You know that the slate is clean. He doesn't see the junk. It's not been imputed to you. There's no record of it. Their sins and their lawless deeds, I will remember no more. We're talking about relationship to God. This makes it easy. When you understand that all the sin, all the junk, all the damage, every mistake, it's all been taken care of. This makes relationship with him easy, knowing that the sin is not there. But religion wants to keep you sin conscious. You just need to do a little bit more. I mean, it's a carrot dangling just out of reach. Am I right? Anybody been to that church? No, well, don't raise your hand. Yeah. Well. And you know what's sad, though? It is masses of people. I'd say it's a large majority. But you know what? We're making a change. We're seeing the word being rightly divided. We see the truth. God is okay with you. That makes it easy to be with him. And what do? We have childlike faith. I always think of my kids. My kids, they don't know if I'm talking and I'm involved in some spiritual conversation. They just plow right on in. They just know that's daddy, and they come running. And that's good. I want that. And I think of Jesus. The disciples are like, to the kids. Don't bother the master. They're trying to shoo them away. And Jesus said, don't you forbid them to come to me. And that's how I know Jesus was a fun person to be around. He was not some religious stick in the mud. Because kids don't want to be around grumpy people. holy man. No. I imagine he tickled them. Like I do my kids. We do this thing, Bruce. You ever see Finding Nemo? It's not part of the message, but anyway, it's what I do. They lay on the bed, they go, do Bruce, Daddy, do Bruce. And so I'm Bruce the shark from Finding Nemo, the great white. Hello. Name's Bruce. I understand why I trust a shark, right? Say, what's a couple of bites like you doing out so late anyway? Great. How about coming to a little get-together I'm having? Yeah, right, a party. Oh, come on. So I just do the whole scene for him. And then we get to where Dory Buster face with the mask and the little blood goes up. And Bruce is sitting there going, Tori, are you okay? Oh, that's good. And they know right there, they're all wincing up. And I get after them. Just a bite. I'm having fish tonight. We go through this whole thing. Okay. Praise God. And then, and while we're at it, we go ahead and do jellyfish. And they don't know when it's going to drop, but they just know. And it's like, Dory, that's a jellyfish. You know, so anyway. So we have all these fun things that we do. Thank you, Lord. Verse 20, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Now, when you look at that, this is saying be reconciled to him. But I thought he already reconciled me to himself. That's right. As far as he's concerned, you're right with him. We need to see that and accept it. Believe it and receive it. God has his part. He's done his part. His part is finished. We just need to see it and say, I'll take mine now by faith. I want the whole package. Here's why. For, or you could say because, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That is the great swap. The Son of God became a son of man so that we, the sons of men, could become sons of God. And we'll get into sonship. That'll bless you when we get into that. Isn't that awesome? Praise you, Jesus. Well, did you get anything out of that? Yeah.